You're with Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Great is thy faithfulness, from a Songs of Praise choir on Heart and Soul.
Now it's time to hear from Heart and Soul regular speaker, the Reverend David Evans. Thank you, David.
What did Jesus mean when he said, "Ask and you shall receive"? Jesus' statement, "Ask and you shall receive," occurs several times in the Gospel accounts in various forms. It's a saying that has often been misinterpreted by those who do not understand the verse in its context, but rather assume that Jesus' meaning was, "Ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you," as some have taught. Sadly, the faith of many has been shipwrecked on the rocks of unanswered prayers that were prayed because of belief in the faulty assumption that "ask and you shall receive" is a blanket promise with no conditions. Perhaps the most famous instance of "ask and you shall receive" is found in Matthew 7:7-8, where Jesus tells his disciples during the Sermon on the Mount that whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and to whomever knocks the door will be opened. We cannot gain a full understanding of Jesus' meaning without reading the entire passage. Jesus goes on to say that God will not fail to give his children good things, and Luke 11:9-13 repeats this message, but replaces the words "good things" with the Holy Spirit. This means that God will give good gifts to his children, and the best example of a good gift is the Holy Spirit. When combined with John 14 and verse 14, where Jesus tells his disciples whatever they ask for in his name will be done for them, we begin to see the twofold purpose of prayer: to give us deeper understanding of what God calls good, and to cultivate a desire in us for that which God calls good. Our prayers to God are not unlike our requests of men. They're based on a relationship, just as Jesus points out in Matthew 7 and verse 8. When we ask our earthly fathers for something they know will hurt us, those things are denied. A child may be frustrated and unhappy when his father or mother denies him his request for something bad, but he still trusts his father. And when a request is for something that the father knows is good for his child, he will provide it willingly and eagerly because he loves his child. This relationship is further alluded to when Jesus follows his promise in John 14:14 with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Loving Jesus, obeying him, and praying according to his will are all part of asking in his name. Many new believers have experienced a disappointment about this reality, thinking, but what I want or need is not in God's will. When we think about it, this promise can never disappoint us. First, if what we want is not in God's will, we really don't want to receive it, do we? Because though it might seem to be what we want, God knows it isn't good for us and is faithful and loving to say no to that prayer. Second, inherent in the promise is the guarantee that the things we truly need will always be given to us when we ask for them. God will always give us good things, and our job is to understand what is good so that we know what to ask for. The natural mind does not understand this, but according to Romans 12:1-2, renewing our minds, which can only be done through his word, will help us to understand what God's will is. Then, asking in faith, we will have all we need for life and godliness and fullness of joy. This is not intuitive for us, but it teaches us humility and it draws us near to God, who is the source of our joy. All other verses about prayer must be interpreted through this lens. Matthew 21:22 tells us that we will receive whatever we ask for in prayer if we have faith. The question is, faith in what? Again, it is faith in his word to tell us what is best, and faith that he will give us what is best. If we ask for healing, and that is the best thing for us, we should not doubt that he will do it. But if he does not heal, as that often happens, let's face the reality of that. We must assume that not being healed is a necessary part of a larger plan that is ultimately for our good. Consider Psalm 37 and verse 4, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." We know that this verse doesn't mean, if you pursue God, you'll get what you want, because of what we already know about asking according to his will. This verse does not give us a way to manipulate God, nor does it mean that if we obey, he will see it and be pleased, and then give us whatever we are craving. Rather, it means that when we delight ourselves in God, truly loving him and pursuing him for his sake, then everything we want and need will necessarily be in him. The issue here is a change of heart. When the heart seeks the Lord, it is satisfied with what it finds there, and its true desires are realized in him. But loving and desiring God is far from natural for us. Therefore, the first and most important prayers in the life of a Christian are, "Make me love you above all else, and make me want what you want." Because when we truly desire God and long to see the kingdom of God realized in our lives and in the lives of others, when we are passionate to see his will and his work in this world, and we ask for the things that bring him glory and increase our closeness to him, he is eager and willing to give us anything we ask for. Sometimes the things that glorify God are pleasant things, like a marriage or a child. Sometimes they are difficult things, like a failure that humbles us or a physical weakness that makes us dependent upon him. But we must never doubt that when we pray for what is in his will, we will receive it, and what we receive from him will always be that which is best. And to close today, let me remind you of those words of Jesus in Matthew 6, where he said, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Let's get our priorities right in prayer, in our considerations of dealings with God, and know this, that the Lord searches the heart and tries the reins in the night season, and as he interprets what he sees and sees where we are, then he will answer us maybe differently today than what he did yesterday. Maybe a thing is not right for today. Maybe it's right for tomorrow. Then we have to wait. And the Lord said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So the next time you consider the idea of whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, remember that the important words in that passage is in his name, in what he endorses. When you write a check, unless you sign your name to it, that check means nothing. It will bounce. But when you add your name to it, you are adding your verification, your intent, that that is right and that is good, and it will be honored. So let's honor God today. Let's honor the Lord Jesus. Let's trust in him and allow him to do his will in our lives, knowing this, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Well, may the Lord bless you, and may you get many answered prayers, and even if they're not what you expected, well, remember this, that there are three answers to prayer. One is yes, two is no, and the third is wait. You need to determine which of those three answers is where you are today. God bless you.
Canadian singer Marie Janelle Knight with a song she wrote called Thank You Father. We'll return in a moment with more on Heart and Soul.